Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Helping you secure your future is brought to you by Alan Gray, 50 years of long-term investing. Alan Gray is an authorized financial services provider. Now, tax season is open. Let's speak to Megan Fraser, tax manager at Alan Gray. Megan, thanks so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. What do you think is the most important thing to know as a taxpayer in South Africa in terms of dates or any other information?
Thanks, Nzinko, for having me this evening. I'm 100%. So diarizing the dates for filing season is the first step in ensuring that your tax affairs remain in order this year. Mm-hmm. So SARS communicated that they would start issuing notifications to taxpayers who had been auto-assessed from yesterday, the 7th of July. So that means that some taxpayers may have already received those notifications from SARS via email or SMS to indicate that they can log into the e-filing profiles to review that auto-assessment. In fact, I have actually heard from some taxpayers that they started receiving SARS notifications over the weekend already. Mm. So keep an eye out for that if you are expecting an auto-assessment this year. Mm-hmm. Perhaps more important to take note of are those deadlines for filing this year. So for all of your non-provisional taxpayers, rather, who are only required to submit one return annually, that due date to diarize is the 20th of October, 2025. And then for those who are provisional taxpayers or those who may be administering trusts, please note that the deadline is actually the 19th of January, 2026, so next year.
Mm. So when you say deadlines, that's the last possible day, but it's from the 21st of July until the 20th of October and the 21st of July until the 19th of January. Okay, cool. Correct. So if you're preparing your tax returns on your own, you're a very brave soul. What do you need to have in terms of documents before you submit?
That's a good question, Nzinga, because in my experience, many everyday South Africans can find tax filing season to be quite stressful and quite an anxiety-inducing time. But getting all of your ducks in a row, so to speak, can really help set you up for success. And those documents that you refer to really are important, regardless of whether you're braving your tax return on your own, or if you have been auto-assessed, or if you have the help of a tax practitioner. Mm-hmm. So the best way to do this is to ensure that you have gathered all of that supporting documentation to assist you in checking the accuracy of your auto-assessment and or filing or, and completing that income tax return if you have not been auto-assessed. Mm-hmm. So if you have not yet received your IRP 5 or IT3A from your employer, it's important that you request that. And then you will also need to gather together all of the tax certificates that you have received from your bank, your medical aid scheme, retirement annuity funds and investment managers, and any other relevant service providers. Another thing that is important to take note of, which some listeners might not be aware of, is that SARS actually requires you to keep these documents for a period of 5 years after the submission of your tax return. So keeping all of your documents filed away in a safe place is highly advisable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to be quite organized, hey? So from 7th to 20 July 2025, that's for auto assessments. What happens if you get yours back and you don't agree with the figures that SARS is telling you?
So I think I'm going to start off by saying that it's extremely important that you do not just assume that your auto-assessment is 100% true and accurate based on that information that SARS has populated on your behalf. So I encourage taxpayers to take the utmost care in double-checking the information included in their auto-assessment and to compare each pre-populated amount to those supporting documents that we were discussing. So remember that as a taxpayer, your obligation is to ensure that your return is a true and accurate representation of your tax liability, as well as to ensure that you have the relevant documentary evidence to support all amounts included in your return, regardless of whether SARS populated those amounts themselves or you completed them. So if you have received notification from SARS that you've been auto-assessed, you will need to log into SARS e-filing or the SARS Mobi app, view your assessment that's been issued to you, and not only check that the amounts are correct, but also that the auto-assessment is complete, which some people forget to do. So an important piece of information to note is that SARS does not pre-populate all of the fields for which they may have received third-party data. So if you have additional deductions you need to claim or income to report that has not been pre-populated in that auto-assessment, you need to amend it by editing your pre-populated return using e-filing. So examples of this might include some capital gains that you may have realized from the sale of assets, some rental income, or excess medical expenses which were not covered by your medical aid. So to get back to your question, Nzinga, if you do not agree with that auto-assessment and you have information that you would like to add, you can request a return and add that relevant additional information before submitting it. If, however, you have amounts that are pre-populated in your return that need to be amended, these will not be editable by you in your return, and you will need to contact the third-party provider directly to correct that data. So as Allen Gray is a third-party data provider to SARS, we do sometimes get requests from clients to amend data that is pulling through in their returns. But when we investigate, we can see that it is not our data that SARS is pre-populating. So an additional step that you can take as a taxpayer is you can check the tool available in e-filing to view all third-party data certificates and ensure that the amount that you are disputing was actually submitted by your relevant service provider. So if you do then need a correction of submitted data, that third party will then need to resubmit the correct data to SARS before you will be able to file your return.
Megan, so from 1 September last year, retirement fund members were able to withdraw from their savings pot once in a tax year, as long as they had around over 2,000 rand, I think. So what's the impact of that on a tax return this year, if any?
No, definitely. So this will be the first tax season where this may actually impact your return. Yeah. So I think it is an important question that may come up for many taxpayers. Remember that any savings component withdrawals that you may have made in the last tax year would have been taxed by SARS according to your marginal tax rate. So remember that this rate is calculated by SARS on assessment by taking into account not only all of your income, but also all of the deductions that you have qualified for during the tax year. So this is exactly the reason that you're required to file an income or tax return every year. So during this filing season, SARS will assess what your tax liability was for the 2024-2025 tax year, taking into account the full picture of your financial activity from 1 March 2024 until 28 February 2025. So if you did make a savings component withdrawal in September last year, like you said, SARS would not have had enough information to make an accurate assessment of the correct amount of tax to instruct your service provider to withhold, as they would have had incomplete information in their system due to the fact that we were in the middle of the tax year, right? So what this means is that the tax withheld would merely have been an estimation, and that may mean that the actual tax owing on that amount may have changed once you have completed and filed your tax return this year. However, it's not necessarily all doom and gloom for taxpayers, because it might not necessarily be a bad thing. So if, for example, you have made a large contribution to your retirement annuity fund at the end of the tax year last year, you will be due a deduction for that contribution, which will in turn decrease your total taxable income. So this may mean that SARS actually owes you a refund for that tax that they withheld on that savings component withdrawal that you made in September.
Megan, when we announced to people that you were coming on to the show and Allen Gray was here, you know, you are such a trusted name. We did ask people if they had questions. Can we just listen into one from Zanele via WhatsApp?
Sure. Good evening, Kaya Biz. I want to ask about my business e-filing, not a personal one. I did my e-filing through CIPC. So what I want to find out is that does it connect with SARS, or I need to do the SARS one also, because I've already done with my CIPC. So, yeah, that's the question. Please help.
Okay, Megan, please help.
Sure. So as far as I'm aware, businesses still do need to file an e-filing tax return this year. But I think what she should do is log into her business's e-filing and make sure that a return is pulling through for her. If it has come through from the SIPC website and it is already completed, then of course she has peace of mind and won't need to then go and double complete her income tax return.
Okay. So if you're living in South Africa, a citizen or not, do you have to pay tax? I know some people get quite upset when they see things on the news and they say, I'm actually going to withhold my tax. Some people say, you actually know there's ways around it. What's the right thing to do?
So you make an important point there with regards to citizenship or not, Zinga. So remember that the tax liability is based on your tax residency. And when we speak to tax residency, it means where your economic interests lie, right? So if you are performing economic activity in South Africa, you might not have been born here, but you currently live here and you've been here for the full tax year, you will be liable to pay income tax to SARS on your full income or your worldwide income for the tax year. So it's important to remember that it doesn't actually matter what your citizenship is, but rather to assess where you're actually tax resident.
There is quite a large shortfall in tax. SARS has said that they're going to try as much as possible to collect, and we know that that VAT increase that was said to be is not going to be. So what are the penalties going to be like for non-compliance? I can imagine if they're in a difficult position and they're being quite strict already with those emails, the penalties for non-compliance might be strict as well.
No, most certainly. So remember, there are a number of instances where SARS may actually impose penalties on taxpayers. And it is important for us to be aware of them, as an unexpected penalty from SARS may also impact your financial plan significantly. So I'm going to highlight two of these instances, which may be most relevant to taxpayers. Mm-hmm. So the first penalty that SARS may charge is what we call an understatement penalty, which will be imposed on taxpayers who have been assessed to have understated the amount of income that they have earned during the tax year. So remember that conversation we had earlier to make sure that all your income is actually correct and up to date in your income tax return. That's really important. So this can occur if you omit from your income tax return amounts accrued to you from the rental of a property, for example, whether that property be in South Africa or outside of South Africa, or if you sold assets and received a capital gain in excess of a 40,000 Rand exclusion and you didn't declare that gain to SARS. The second penalty that I would encourage all taxpayers to be aware of are those administrative non-compliance penalties, which are actually easier to rack up, right? So that relates to the late submission or the non-submission of a tax return. So SARS levies these penalties in instances where taxpayers have one or more tax return outstanding, and that amount charged by SARS can range between 250 Rand and 16,000 Rand. The other thing to remember is that these penalties are actually incurred monthly. So if you do not submit your tax return, SARS will issue a penalty, and it will be recurring until you actually regularize that tax return with SARS.
Okay, we've got another voice note. Let's listen in.
Hi, I have a question. How are you? I just want to know, for the commission earning people or working agents, how do you do your e-filing, and how much tax should you pay?
Sure, that feels like a question that might take a bit more than the 2 minutes that we have. Megan, I don't know if you want to take a stab at it.
No, certainly. I'll just give a very quick answer. So anybody who's earning any income that might not be reported to them on their normal sort of tax certificates, rather, remember that SARS actually has some really comprehensive guides on their website, which cover all sorts of strange and wonderful questions, right? So if you have received commission, it is important to note that that is income that has accrued to you. It will be required to be completed in your income tax return. But if you have questions regarding any different types of income, please do refer to the SARS guide on the website, which will tell you where to put this information in your e-filing.
Megan Fraser, tax manager at Allan Gray, thanks so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening, answering our questions that are coming in on WhatsApp and through our interview. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Nzinga. No problem.
All right. So with over 5 decades of investing experience, Allan Gray remains focused on building long-term wealth for its clients by pursuing long-term returns without taking undue risk. Allan Gray, more than 50 years of long-term investing. Allan Gray is an authorized financial services produced provider.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.